CCV, I want to just welcome everybody in Anthem, in East Valley, Peoria, Surprise, Scottsdale, as we begin this brand new series called Wisdom. And we're going to be studying the book of Proverbs, and I think it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing. And here's what I want to do to get us all headed in the same direction. I want to tell you a true story about a guy who really, really needed this series on wisdom. His name is Larry Walters. Larry's lifelong dream was to fly. And so he signed up for the Air Force, and only to realize that his eyesight was poor and he was never going to be a pilot. And so he was discharged from the military and upset by that, obviously. Sometime later, Larry was in his backyard in Southern California, and he began to look at his lawn chair, and he began to wonder, I wonder if this chair could fly. And so Larry went down to the local Army-Navy surplus store, and he bought about 3 dozen helium weather balloons. And he brought them back to his house, and he filled them up, and he attached the weather balloons to his chair, and then he attached his chair to his Jeep. Then Larry went inside, and he made some sandwiches, and he got his pellet gun, and he went back out and sat in his chair. This is actually a picture of Larry in his chair. His idea was that he could just, you know, cut the cord from the Jeep, and he would lazily float up into the sky and float around his neighborhood for a little while, float over his house for a few hours, and then he would just shoot a few of the balloons and come back down to the ground. So he cut the rope that was tethered to the Jeep. The only problem is he didn't lazily float into the sky. He actually shot into the sky like he was fired out of a cannon. True story. He didn't level off at 100 feet or 500 feet or 1,000 feet. He went past 5,000 feet, then 7,000 feet, then 10,000 feet. He went to 12,000. He finally levels off at over 15,000 feet. True story. Now, at this point, he's too afraid to shoot any of the balloons because he's afraid he'll become unbalanced, right, and come crashing to the ground. So he just floated around. 2 hours go by, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8, 10 hours go by, 12 hours. Larry floats around for 14 hours. No kidding. Can you imagine what's going on the ground? Hey, where's Larry? I don't know. Lawn chair's gone too. I don't know. What's going on? Finally, after 14 hours, he drifted into the approach corridor for Los Angeles International Airport, where a Delta Airline pilot radioed the control tower about passing a guy in a lawn chair at 15,000 feet. Finally, Larry had the courage to shoot some of the balloons or whatever, and he got himself down to the ground. Now, of course, as soon as he hit the ground, he was immediately arrested by the LAPD, and there was a reporter there on hand that kind of yelled out to Larry and said, Larry, hey, why'd you do it? And I love Larry's response. It's just classic. Here's what Larry said. He said, hey, a man can't just sit around. Which is true, right? I mean, actually, that's true, guys. We got to have something to do. We can't just sit around. But here's the thing, CCV, on all of our campuses, how many of you know that was not wise? And here's the truth. Every one of us has a little bit of Larry in us, don't we? We all at times do some things that just are not that wise. And that's why I think this series on wisdom is going to just be great for us for the next few weeks. In fact, if you have a Bible with you, I want to ask you to go ahead and locate the book of Proverbs, or if you have a smartphone or a tablet, or if you're going to use the CCV app, whatever it is, locate the book of Proverbs, because that's what we're going to be studying. And I also want to say this, if you're just kind of investigating church, you're just kind of coming back to church, if you've ever thought that the Bible was like outdated or irrelevant, I want you to know the book of Proverbs is for you. The book of Proverbs is just so perfect for our current culture because the verses are short. It's like bite-sized. These are like tweets for your soul. That's what it's like. Let me just share some of my favorite verses, in fact, from Proverbs with you. While you're locating the book of Proverbs, let me share some of my favorite ones with you. Proverbs chapter 14, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I think envy and jealousy are probably one of the biggest ailments in our culture today. I think that's a powerful truth. Here's another one. A nagging spouse is like the drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You can't turn it off and you can't get away from it. Some of you are thinking, is that for real? Is that really in there? Yeah, it's in there. You should read it, okay? It's good. It's in there. Let's continue on. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Again, pretty to the point, right? Continue on. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. No, not near the clap or applause there. Okay, let's move on. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Isn't that good? I mean, how many of you know when we don't give our kids boundaries, when we don't give our kids guardrails and discipline, the proverb says it's kind of like we don't care about them. It's kind of like we don't love them. That's a powerful truth. Let's continue on. Better to be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust. Yeah. What about this one? When God approves of your life, even your enemies will end up shaking your hand. Isn't that good? That's the kind of life I want to lead. I want a life that is so approved of by God that even those who are against me have to be for me. And they want to shake my hand. You know, when you start to read through the book of Proverbs, immediately you begin to see a pattern, a reoccurring theme. And I want us to discover that today. If you found the book of Proverbs, hopefully, let's start in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. And I think you'll begin to see what the theme is. I'm going to read this from the Message version of the Bible, because it tells us just exactly what this book is written for and who this book is written to. Chapter 1, verse 1. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so that we will know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it is going. It's a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something also for the seasoned men and women. There's still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and to penetrate the rhymes and the reasons of wise men and women. If you continue on in Proverbs chapter 2, take a look at what it says there. For the Lord gives wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs chapter 2, 5 times it talks about how we can gain wisdom from this book. Continue on into Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Continue on to chapter 4. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Friends, over and over and over, the book of Proverbs says, hey, listen. Whatever you do, get wisdom in your life. Whatever price you have to pay, whatever you have to do, acquire wisdom in your life. And the question that we have to ask today is simply this: why? I mean, why do we really need wisdom so badly in our life? Why should we pay anything it costs to get wisdom? Here's why. Here's the answer. This is huge. It's because many of the decisions that you and I make on a day-to-day basis are not between choosing right and wrong. You see, many times you and I are stuck between one good choice and another good choice. Every single week, you and I make all kinds of decisions, and many of the decisions we make could have 3 to 5 options, and all of the options are okay. All of the options are morally permissible. So oftentimes in our lives, it's not so much which one is the right choice, because there's 3 or 4 right choices. It's which one is the wise choice. That's what I need in my life. In fact, let's just do some for instances on this and how wisdom helps. Take a look at this. Should you spend the evening surfing Facebook, watching TV, reading a book, or playing a game with your family? Which one should you choose? All of those activities are just fine, right? I mean, you're not going to go to hell for any of those, okay? But there's a couple of those that are probably wiser choices. Or what about this one? Should you put your child in kindergarten this year, or should you wait until next year? That's something that a lot of parents wrestle with. When should we start? We don't know which one is right. Neither one is maybe right or wrong, but what's the wise one for you and your family? Or what about this? Should you stay home for Thanksgiving and just invite some people over to your house? Or should you go on a simple vacation with just your family over to California for a few days during Thanksgiving? Which one would be the wise thing for you to do? Or what about this? Should you go on a mission trip or to a marriage conference? The answer to that is whatever your wife says. That's what you should do on that one, okay? That's wisdom, okay? Listen to your wife is wisdom. That's also probably in there, okay? Continue on. How about this? Should you buy a house or should you rent a house? I don't know. Both those things can be good at times, right? And here's what's so amazing about wisdom. You got to catch this. Wisdom goes beyond what's right and what's wrong. Wisdom goes beyond what's good. And wisdom actually helps illuminate the best choice based on the complex realities of your life. That's why Proverbs says, hey, listen, whatever you do, get wisdom. You've got to get wisdom in your life. It's that important. And Proverbs goes on to point out two chief places that we can locate wisdom. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. Wisdom is available in the Bible. It's available in the Bible. And you're probably thinking, well, yeah, we know that. That's why we're here. We've already discovered that in Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. It talks about wisdom being in the Bible. Wisdom is found in the Bible. We know that. But did you know this? Not everyone who reads the Bible is wise. I personally know all kinds of foolish people who love to read the Bible because it makes them feel wise. What I'm saying is the difference between a wise person and a foolish person is not reading the Bible. Any fool can read the Bible. The difference between a wise person and a foolish person is obeying the Bible and applying the Bible and its truths to your life. That's the difference. Well, let's take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'll start in verse 24. Jesus says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. Rain poured down and the river flooded and a haboob hit. And then, no, that's not in there, sorry. A tornado hit. But nothing moved that house because it was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't really build them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach, and when the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. And when Jesus was done with his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. Friends, wisdom is available in the Bible. It's true, but here's what you got to know. You must actually obey it. You must actually use it. You must build your life on it in order to benefit from it, right? I mean, it's not enough to just have wisdom laying around. It's not enough to just have Bibles laying around. A lot of us have wisdom laying around at our house or in our car. You have it in your backpack that you take to school. A lot of you have wisdom. You have a Bible app on your phone, and that's awesome. But it's not enough to just have wisdom laying around our lives. You actually have to build your life on it to benefit from it. You have to use it in your life. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you in just the best way I could discover this week. I was thinking back to a time several years ago when my wife took my kids out of town for the weekend, and so I had a weekend just for me, and I decided that this would be a weekend where the Clark family needed a brand new barbecue grill. And so I went to the local home improvement store, and I searched around for the coolest, biggest one I could afford. I bought this thing. It came in a huge box, about 4 or 5 feet tall, about 3 feet wide. I put it in the back of my Jeep Cherokee. I drove it to my house, and I'll never forget hauling it through the grass into my backyard in the box. And I put this big box out on our back patio. It was a beautiful, sunny Saturday morning. And I just remember ripping into that box, and about 5,000 pieces fell out. I was so excited. About an hour into the project, I started thinking to myself, you know what? This is going to take a little longer than I thought. About 2 or 3 hours into the project, I was getting very frustrated because nothing was fitting together the way it should. And I realized I'm going to have all kinds of extra pieces. I don't even know why they gave me these pieces. I don't need these pieces. And so at that point in the project, I did what every guy hates to do. I hate to even talk about it publicly. I went over on the deck to the huge pile of trash, and I got into that big barbecue box, and I searched, and I found the instructions. And I pulled them out, and I began to build. Because you see, here's what happened. When I realized the complexity of the project at hand, I knew I had to use some instructions. And friends, let me tell you something. Here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe this so deeply. I believe that this book, the Bible, is the ultimate instruction manual to our lives. And you can, of course, do life on your own. People choose to do that all the time. You can do marriage on your own and friendships on your own. You can raise your kids on your own and do college and career on your own. People do it all the time. But let me make a prediction. If you choose to do that, here's what happens a lot of times. We underestimate the complexity of these real-life issues in which we live. And a lot of times, we find our lives, our marriage, our kids laying around us in pieces. And we don't really have any idea how to put everything back together again. And what do we need? We need wisdom. On marriage, it's in the book. We need wisdom on raising our kids. That's in the book too. We need wisdom on friendships. That's in there. We need wisdom on our career and business. That's in there. It's in the book of Proverbs. We need wisdom on our finances. All that stuff is in there. In fact, right now, I believe this with all my heart. I believe if we could just tune in enough that there is a God in heaven whispering to your heart right now, saying, if you would just use this book, it's in your language for crying out loud. A lot of people don't even have the Bible in their language, and you can get a fat one or a thin one based on your eyesight and how big the words need to be, and you can get one with a black cover or a blue cover or a purple cover. You can get a pink cover. Just use the book. Not only read it, but obey it. Apply the wisdom from this book into your life. That's the first thing that Proverbs talks about, that we can locate wisdom in the Bible, but we have to apply it to our lives. Here's the second thing, if you're taking notes. Wisdom is also experienced in community. The book of Proverbs indicates over and over and over and over and over that an individualist is a fool. Anybody who thinks they can just do life on their own is foolish. Anybody who thinks they don't need to ask for advice or ask for help, that person is a fool. A wise person, on the other hand, seeks out advice and seeks out community. And take a look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 12. It says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. I think that's true. A wise person actually seeks out friends, seeks out advisors, and then actually listens. Actually listens to them. I think there are many, many people in our world today who have fooled themselves into thinking they're wise because they will ask for advice all the time. They'll seek advice from friends. They'll seek advice on Facebook. They'll seek advice on the phone. They'll seek advice at work and at the gym and at the grocery store and at the golf course. People seek advice on radio and television, at books and magazines, and all of that stuff is great. But here's the problem. So many people will continue to seek advice until they find the advice they're seeking. Right? And that is not wise. That is the opposite of wise. That is foolish. You see, wisdom is the ability to seek and surrender to advice, even when it is not the advice you're seeking. And let me just say this, kind of off to the side here, with just all the boldness I can, but with all the love I can. For many of you, on all of our campuses, you have all kinds of good friends around you. You have some good family around you. Not all of you have good family around you, but a lot of you have really good family around you. You have a good trusted support structure, and you can ask them advice. You can ask for their input, and sometimes you do, but the thing is you rarely listen to it. In fact, I bet this has happened. Even this week, you ask somebody for advice, and they give you great advice, and then you don't listen. You don't take their advice. And Proverbs would say, you know what? You're foolish. Because wise people actually seek out and listen to advice. Here's another place in the book of Proverbs that it talks about wisdom being experienced in community. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Last year, my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and I took this photograph of them walking on the beach together. And let me just ask you this question as you look at it. When you see two people going for a walk, what's it make you think about? When they go for a walk, they're probably sharing a lot of their thoughts and feelings and a lot of their hopes and their dreams with somebody they trust, right? When somebody invites you to go on a walk with them, oftentimes that is just an invitation into community. And the book of Proverbs observes that who you and I choose to walk with dramatically affects our level of wisdom. It's kind of like this. Think back to when you were in high school, like your biology class. Some of you don't want to remember that. But think back to like high school biology and remember when you learned about those things called permeable membranes, those microscopically thin walls that allow particles to pass back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The book of Proverbs says that our lives are like that. That's what our lives are like. The values and the convictions and the ideas and the morals and even the language of people that we choose to hang around will eventually find its way into our life, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not. In fact, let me just say this. Some of you don't want to hear this, but here's the truth. You are deeply affected by the people that you choose to walk with. Here's something I've been saying for years and years and years as I've preached to anybody who will listen. It's simply this. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me who you're hanging around and I'll be able to give you a pretty good indication of what your future is going to look like. I love what Pastor Bill Hybels says from Chicago. He says, when you walk with wise people, almost by osmosis, their wisdom will seep into your life. I think that's true. Their sober judgment will improve your judgment. Their values will raise the bar on your values. Their convictions will begin to crystallize your convictions. When you walk with wise people, their wisdom seeps into your life. The problem is, the opposite is also true, right? When you walk with fools, it works the same way. Your friend's foolishness will begin to also seep into your life. Their lack of sober judgment will also begin to pollute your judgment. Their faulty moral compass will also head you off in the wrong direction. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, look at that again. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Here's what's so important. I want you to see in this verse. This is so huge to understand. The important thing to understand is that both wisdom and foolishness are experienced in community. Did you know that? Wisdom and foolishness are experienced in community. And the kind of person that you become is largely related to the type of people that you hang out with, that you spend your time with. In fact, just let me kind of pull this together, but just do this for just a moment. I want you to think back on your life. Think back across the landscape of your life. Think back on some of your greatest moments. What's one of the greatest victories in your life? One of the greatest moments in your life? One of the greatest achievements in your life? Whatever that is, my guess is when you think about it, there were also some people around you who were good people, giving you good advice, good people to travel and walk with. Now also do this. Think back on one of your biggest regrets in life. Maybe that weekend that you wish that weekend never happened. Or maybe that Friday night that you wish you could erase. My guess is, equally so, on those biggest regrets, there were also people hanging around you who were not the wisest people. They were foolish people. And they were also polluting your judgment. When you walk with the wise, you grow wise. And when you become a companion of fools, you grow foolish. And who you and I become is largely related to those we choose to travel with. That's what Proverbs says. Now, let me just kind of pull this together. I've really just had two initiatives as we begin this series on Proverbs. First of all, it's to let you know that wisdom is available in the Bible. And secondly, that it's experienced in community. It's available in the Bible. It's experienced in community. So here's what I want to do. I want to collide both of those things that we've studied today. And I want to let the collision of those be the takeaway. So here's the takeaway today. If you're taking notes, here it is. Let's read the Bible together. That's simple. Let's read the Bible together. That's both of those things we've studied collided into one thing. Let's read the Bible because that's where wisdom is available. We don't just want our Bibles laying around in our backpack or at work or at home on the shelf. We want to actually spend some time getting into this and reading the Bible because that's where wisdom's at. But let's do it together. That's the community part. Let's read the Bible together. And here's what I want to do. I want to make a challenge to everybody on every single one of our campuses. Here's what I want to ask us to do. For the next 7 weeks of this series, which is a huge deal, the next 7 weeks, here's what I want us to do. Notice this. Here's the next slide. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Every single person, young and old, if you've been around CCV for 10 years or 20 years, or if this is your very first time, you're just checking out CCV, here's what I want to ask. I want you to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day you were living. The date. So like on Monday, it'll be September 8th. So read Proverbs chapter 8. On Monday the 8th, read chapter 8. On Tuesday the 9th, read chapter 9. On Wednesday the 10th, read chapter 10. And then if you forget, then if you get busy, then if you're traveling somewhere and all of a sudden it's Saturday, just look at what the date is on Saturday and read the chapter that corresponds to the date that you're living. And this will begin to seep into your life, I promise. It's only going to take 5 to 7 minutes to read this in the morning. There's 31 chapters. Read the day that corresponds to the day you're living in. And then secondly, here's the thing I want to ask you to do, is use the Wisdom and CCV Online hashtag. Some of you are involved in social media, in Twitter and Instagram and things like that. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people around CCV. So we want to do something we've never really done around here. And that is we want you to use these hashtags and share the things with other people that you're discovering. And maybe here's a good example of something you could do. September 8th, that's Monday, equals Proverbs 8. Wow, check out verse 10, CCV Online, wisdom. You could just post something like that on Twitter. You could post something like that on Instagram, and it'll allow all kinds of other people to follow you, and we'll be reading the Bible, but we'll also be doing it together. Not just studying the Bible on a weekend, but also studying and sharing the Bible all week long. And these hashtags will allow me to follow you. You can follow me. We can all follow each other and learn to study the Bible together. I think it's going to be an incredible experiment around here for the next few weeks. And I want to challenge you to do that. Read the chapter in Proverbs that corresponds to the day you're living. And if you're involved in social media, send that out there so we can all begin to learn from each other. Well, let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the start of a new series. God, thank you for the truth of your word that is so powerful and effective. God, thank you for giving us the Bible that lays wisdom right at our feet, right at our fingertips. God, I pray that we would actually read it and apply it to our lives. God, thank you for this community of people that we can choose to walk with for the next 6 or 7 weeks, and we can learn from each other and grow with each other. God, I pray you would surprise us by the wisdom in your word. And God, I pray for every single person that you would increase our appetite for your word, for wisdom. Because so many of the choices, God, that we make are not between right and wrong. They're what's the wise choice. God, give us insight into just that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.